Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Catch Up.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm better than you by the looks of it. When that was playing, you just had your head in your hands, like rubbing your face, like the look of a man who's given up on life.
I had my face. I just had tired face.
Oh, do you want me to slap your face?
That would wake it up. That would work. No, yeah. I just need to try and wake it up before we spoke, but I did it while we were speaking, so.
Yeah. I've got a turkey patty in my office. Do you want me to slap that on your face? Give you a turkey slap.
Don't do that. Also, the turkey, if I eat the turkey, makes you fall asleep even more because it has sleeping agents in it. We've spoken about this. Apparently, there's a place in Shepparton here.
I can get a turkey patty?
You can, and a turkey slap. No, there's a massage parlor that does Indian head massages.
Ooh.
How good does that sound?
Yeah, great. I'm keen for that.
Get them to be a client. 9 o'clock every day when we finish the show, you and I straight for Indian head massages.
That'd be the dream. Do you know what I did yesterday? I was the best girlfriend ever. My boyfriend's like, oh, I'm really sore. I've got a sore neck. I'm keen for a massage. I said, go get one, babe. Treat yourself. He said, nah, you know, that's a waste of money. So I was such a good girlfriend. I transferred him $70.
What?
With the title, loosen dem shoulders, big boy. And then I don't think he went and got a massage.
He just took the money?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, he said like, oh, thanks, babe. You're the best. You're a legend. La, la, la. And then I never heard anything later that day.
You should speak about that on the radio tomorrow.
Yeah, I might actually.
He should check himself.
Yeah.
Transfer it back, Gav.
I know. Oh my God, that's weird. He just messaged me.
What's saying?
Oh my God, if it's about the massage.
Here we go.
Oh, no, it's about his new bed.
Oh.
Which is also a win in our relationship because he's been on a mattress on the floor ever since I met him and he finally bought a real bed.
Is it a massage bed by any chance?
Oh, maybe.
Because maybe your $70 could have gone towards that.
So true. So true. All right, the catch up today has a very interesting chat with Steph Ryan, the member for Euroa. If you're interested in the Shep Super School, that'll be towards the end of the podcast or there's a separate episode with it because if you're not in Shepparton, you probably don't care about the Super School.
But everybody else, though, we have a lot of fun, so get excited.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We speak about heaps of stuff. You'll find out as you listen. Bye.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
I don't really want to talk about what I'm about to talk about. I'm embarrassed.
Well, you're talking about it, so you're halfway there. Just let it out. Do us a favour.
Coles Minis. They've been around for ages. In fact, this is the second wave of Coles Minis, right?
So they're different to the Ooshie things, right?
Yeah, the Ooshies are little Lion King things.
Right.
Coles Minis are the mini collectibles.
Right. For me, it's all a waste because they banned the plastic bags, but then they brought in plastic little toys. So regardless of what supermarket chain it is, they're all idiots. But anyway, that's another opinion for another time.
Woolies' new one is going to be plants, giving out plants.
That's a good initiative.
Yeah, there you go. Jump back on board. Coles Minis, like I said, they've been around forever and I have never collected one. But I was at Coles the other day and I spent $63 or something at Coles.
Oh, you're doing well.
I know, I'm a big spender, which meant that I was eligible for not one but two minis. And so I thought, do you know what? Why not? Let's see what this craze is all about. So I collected my two minis and I went home and I opened them and I got a mini little sunscreen and I got a mini little carton of washing detergent for the clothes.
So they're real products just in miniature version. Is that what they are? I've always said no when they offer to give them to me.
Okay. That's what I thought, right? So I assumed that the box of washing detergent would have a little bit of detergent.
Oh, come on, Ellie.
In it, and that the little thing of sunscreen would have a bit of sunscreen in it.
What, did you try opening them?
Yes.
Ellie. Come on, man.
So it's one of those, you know how a sunscreen bottle is squidgy, so you press down on it and you like squeeze it out. So I'm standing there in my kitchen being like, oh, I'm going to put some sunscreen on, squeezing on this mini thing. There's nothing in it.
Please tell me Lexi from Channel 9, yes, your roommate, walked in when you were trying to squirt a bottle of sun cream Coles Mini.
She did. And Lexi is the nicest person in the world, like sweet, doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Oh, that's not what you were saying off air.
Even she was trying to be nice about it, but she's like, Ellie, no one thinks that there's actually products inside these things.
I mean, from a marketing point of view, it's not bad to get free products.
Well, that's the thing. We were out of washing detergent. Perfect. I'll just sprinkle a little bit in.
Bit of Coles Mini and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a waste for them, though, selling free things, which mean absolutely nothing to them.
But why are people so obsessed with these things then? It's just a piece of plastic.
You know what? I've got your back on this one. And I know a lot of mums will fire up when you say this. It is such a waste of time. And I've seen on Facebook them fire up. It brings my kid delight. Well, go make him run and chase a ball then. That'll bring him delight as well. I don't know how a piece of plastic-looking lion thing is worth so
doesn't
much money.
Doesn't even have anything in it, guys.
Should we open that can of worms again or not?
No, I mean, 13, 12, 16, feel free to get involved if you too thought that there was actual products inside the Coles Mini, because I've sure, like, am I alone or am I the dumbest person in the Golden Valley?
We've got Steph Ryan coming on the show in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If we get one caller before then,
yeah,
that has also got a Coles Mini a bottle of sun cream and tried squirting it, I'll make you feel normal again. If not Ellie, you should check yourself.
Do you know what the most concerning part is, though? Last night, Lexi brought me home another one. She goes, guess what? I got you a Coles Mini. And it was the milk one. And I was like, oh, yeah, fair call. I don't actually want there to be milk in there. You know, like, imagine the milk going off in your Coles. Okay. All right. Okay. It was a dumb moment. I'm blonde.
Quit while you're ahead, Ellie.
During that ad break, we got a couple of calls that made me have my faith restored. Donna gave us a call and she said that she didn't realise that the people who were trading Coles Minis were not trading actual products. So she thought that people were just meeting up to give away like a full jar of Vegemite and swap it with a thing of milk. She's like, why are they doing this?
Like a buy swap meat for actual products.
I love this. I love it so much. And then Paige has given us a call as well from Kyabram. And Paige, did you not realise that they weren't real products as well?
Yes, I went to a friend's house and I tried opening it and the 5-year-old screamed at me.
Yes, I'm not alone.
Paige, I ask you what sort of Coles Mini it was?
It was all of them and it was like a little box of like cereal or something and I went to open it and the 5-year-old just screamed at me and lost the plot. And she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, isn't there product in here? And she's like, no.
Oh, Paige.
So the 5-year-old knew what was up and you and I didn't, Paige.
No, I was so shocked. I honestly thought there was.
Well,
we don't have Coles in Kyabram, so.
Of course. There you go. Well, it's a stupid campaign, right? If you're going to give away free stuff, give away free stuff that's actually useful.
Definitely.
You girls need to go for coffee and sort out your life choices, I reckon.
Yeah. Might need to do a couple of IQ tests as well. I feel like we could use some IQ improvement, Paige.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, thanks so much for your call, girl.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie. Solving life's biggest mysteries.
Or not.
With Josiah and Ellie.
Everybody's favourite segment this morning when I solve a mystery on a Thursday. The things you think about but don't actually know the answer to. Everyday things like last week, Ellie. Why do you scrunch your face up when it's sour, when you eat something sour like a lemon?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that.
But when you do think about it, it's interesting,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah, so true.
We solved that one last week. Search Josiah and Ellie in the podcast store if you want to see the answer. Today, though, we want to talk about what happens if you don't take out a splinter. So if you step on something, by splinter it means a foreign object. So it could
so
be
not a, just wood.
It could be a piece of glass. It could be a sea urchin, for example. I once stood on that, which I'll tell you a story about very soon. It could be anything that's a foreign object in your body.
This actually is useful for me because I've got a piece of gravel in my chin from when I fell off a scooter in Greece.
Got an amazing story. Listen to what's going to happen to you. So basically, I did some research into it. The doctors have come out and said, this is the doctors from Harvard University that I get in touch with every week.
Yep, your mates.
They wrote to me saying that if something goes in your body, it carries infection. Our skin is there to reject anything foreign because it can carry, what do you call the bacteria?
Yep.
And so your skin rejects it. If it's in your body, it's not meant to be in there. Get it out. However, some situations, this doesn't happen. Are you ready for the best story you're ever going to hear?
Okay, yep.
My best mate, Liam, his mum told us this story when we were 15. I'll never forget it. She was 20, I think she was around 21 years old, at a party, fell through a glass table. It shattered. Lots of glass went inside her body, right?
Yeah.
They got most of it out, or what they thought all of it out. She had 40 stitches to cover it up. 20 years later, in her 40s.
Yeah.
So, right, the glass went in her foot, the bottom of her foot, her sole. 20 years later, she had a pimple on her knee. Listen to this.
Stop it.
She scratched at the pimple and a piece of glass had traveled over the last 20 years from her foot up to her knee. She took the piece of glass out with tweezers.
Oh, well, that's what, so my doctors told me, I went and had like facial x-rays and stuff on my gravel chin and they said there's a bit of gravel in there. It'll eventually just pop out like a pimple. I was like, I don't what. So I could be on a date and all of a sudden a piece of gravel just pops out of my chin?
Absolutely. So it travels through your body. I'm guessing your blood flow or the bloodstream of your body up towards your heart. Crazy story. When I was 15, I said to you off air, I stood on a sea urchin at the beach and I just broke it off. And I had a soccer game later that day, and I remember how sore it was, and I played on it, and then eventually the pain just went away. I never pulled it out. So somewhere right now, my body is a little piece of sea urchin just traveling around. So
cute. And I've got a piece of gravel so we could like pop them out together and chuck them in a jar and keep it forever. Like
we should go get x-rays and see where they end up. But I'm scared one day that sea urchin is going to like hit my heart or something and I'll end up dying from it or something.
We can only hope.
Fingers crossed. So there you go, guys. Life's mysteries solved. Or just a good story.
Hit Breakfast with Desire and Ellie.
I noticed an article in the Shep News earlier this week about a man named Brad who is a part of a fishing group called Just Us Fishing, right, which is basically a family fishing group. They go out. They've got a Facebook page. Get around it if you're interested. And they caught a massive monster cod up near Yarrawonga.
The photo is crazy. The thing is massive, massive, massive.
It is so cool. But the best part about it is that they had a bit of a pact going between themselves. So in order to tell us about it, please welcome Brad Armstrong to the show. He joins us now. Brad, tell us, how did it all happen?
Yeah, look, me and a couple of mates and our families, we've been hunting a big one all winter. We'd put in a lot of hours. Got a couple, but nowhere near the meter. But what we decided back at the start of May was, I don't know, just a stupid pack between us just to grow our moustaches until we caught a metre plus cod. It sounded like a good idea at the time until, obviously, the moustaches really started to grow and the wives became unhappy with it. But, yeah, they were still happy for us to go through with it, knowingly, you know, that it could quite well be years before we cracked that metre. But it was just a magical morning. Went out, took my niece and my daughter and just hit the water and already coached them into, you know, oh, look, you know, if I catch a big fish, here's my GoPro and here's me phone, just take lots of footage and photos. And sure enough, I got lucky.
This is amazing.
This cod that you caught, mate, just before the end of cod season as well, it looks like bigger than a German Shepherd. Like, this thing's a beast.
It is, mate. Yeah, it's a very big fish.
Roughly 125 centimetres long and weighed about 70 kilos. My one question for you, mate, what if you didn't get a cod over that metre mark before the end of the season? What would you have done? Because, my goodness, that moustache would be getting very long by the time next year comes around.
Yeah, well, I was dedicated to it. The other two lads ended up having to shave theirs, unfortunately. But I didn't have an excuse, so mine was just growing wild. I used to wax it up on the ends and curl it up a bit.
Yeah, because you're the only one dedicated enough to the cause, Brad. You know, you saw it through to the end. How did your wife feel about it?
Well, about 3 months of no contact via the mouth. We weren't kissing pretty much.
I guess
it was like I was lucky enough to sneak a quick one in.
I guess it was a relief for both of you then that you caught the fish, mate.
Oh, it was, yeah, that's for sure.
How long after you caught the fish did you shave it off? Was it that night?
Yeah, that night. Yeah, I got hold of the boys and their families, and we had a couple of glasses of cordial and got the clippers out and off she came.
A shaving party. I love it. Well, we should have one of those for you, Josiah.
We should.
Get rid of the man bun.
I need to catch a fish first.
Yeah. well done. Did you eat the cod out of interest? No, are they good eating?
No. You can only keep a cod between 55 and 75 centimetres.
Oh.
And if it's smaller or larger, you need to release. And a cod that size, that's something that you need to keep in the water. It's good for the species. They're good breeders. And obviously you want it to stay in the water to help keep the numbers up. And for somebody else to maybe catch.
Yeah, exactly. Give someone else a chance. There's some other man out there somewhere with a massive moustache who needs that fish to come along.
Or a man bun.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
A man bun. Hey, maybe I should take up the challenge, mate.
Yes.
Next season. Good on you, Brad.
All right. Yes. Thanks so much for coming on the show this morning, Brad.
Yeah, cheers. No worries. Thanks, guys.
Hey, we want to continue this discussion a little bit this morning because I love the fact that these boys have had a boy pact, a man pact, where, you know, they wouldn't shave their moustache until they caught it. I love this. And I feel like boys do this all the time.
Boys love getting together.
Yeah.
Setting a challenge and seeing who's the first to break it.
Yes. So 13, 12, 16, get involved this morning. Have you and your mates had a pact? or a bet or something similar to the moustache thing. Moustache, did I say that right?
Moustache.
Moustache thing, where you all banded together and wouldn't relent until you achieved something. Give us a call now, 13, 12, 16.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
The boys in my school did this when we went on like year 11 retreat or year 12 retreat, I think it was, and they all had this surge of like testosterone one day and decided that they were all going to brand themselves. And so they got forks, heated them up on the stove and branded their shoulders in like, oh, yeah, the boys, we're going to be friends for life. Let's all get the same marking.
Oh, wouldn't you be regretting that a few years later when you don't speak to half of them?
Exactly.
They still have them now?
Now, it's been 10 years, 12, 11 years, and they've all still got these fork-shaped scars on their arms. They all got infected. The teachers who were supposed to be supervising nearly got fired.
Awesome.
It was hectic.
I'm going to try that tonight.
Yeah, we were just there braiding each other's hairs in the girls' dorm. We're like, boys, what are you up to? hey, 13, 12, 16, if you've got a story about having a boy packed, let's go to Shane from Shep. Shane, have you had one, bud?
Yeah, my mate and I were going out. Like, we hit the city once, and we basically had this pact. If we didn't manage to kiss a girl that night, we had to sleep out on the balcony.
Who ended up on the balcony?
Me.
Shano. I'm sorry. Did you come close, or did you strike out at every corner?
Struck out at every corner. Didn't even get a chance.
Aww. You obviously didn't bump into Ellie then.
Okay. All right. I was busy that night. I was with his mate.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
I came into work so mad this morning because last night I had to sit down and pay one set of $83 and then another set of $83 to the Greater Shepparton City Council for a parking infringement or two.
Yeah, well, first of all, if you're doing the wrong thing, you have to pay for it. But at the same time, they've stepped up these parking ranges. They're everywhere at the moment.
Yes. Well, with this new crackdown they're doing, I got tickets for parking in places that I've been parking in for 18 months without worry.
Well, two things on that just quickly. The first one is there shouldn't be parking inspectors or paid for tickets in a town.
Yeah.
It should be reserved for the capital cities only. So the fact you have to pay for parking in a town of 60,000 is a joke, first of all, just a revenue way of the council to make money. Second of all, I told you about what happened to the council a couple of weeks ago with the parking tickets.
So I come in, I'm like, oh, I had to pay this last night. And you're like, oh, you know that it might not even matter because they've been done for not fraud, but like a
mistake. They put the wrong ABN numbers on the tickets.
Yeah.
But they have come out because that actually came out a couple of weeks ago. And I thought maybe Ellie's got a chance to get off here. But they have come out. I've just done a bit of research into it and said that printing the wrong ABN does not invalidate your parking ticket, unfortunately. Which I love that story. We never really spoke about it much a couple of weeks ago. Someone from the council on every parking ticket and fine had put the wrong ABN. I don't know how you get the wrong ABN, first of all. Second of all, that ABN number that they printed on every ticket just happened to be the Ipswich, can't say it, council in Queensland, which you might remember was all over the news last year because they're the most corrupt council in Australia.
Collusion, guys. What's going on?
I don't know.
I think it was probably just someone copied and pasted the wrong ABN.
If that was the case, though, what a weird coincidence to happen.
I just wish it would let me off my $83.
Don't think that person would have a job anymore. That's all I'm saying.
True.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
I want to talk about something that I saw around the Goulburn Valley. I was in Yarrawonga on, what day is it today? Thursday. So Tuesday. Went after work because I do love it up there. If we had a radio studio in Yarra, it'd be beautiful. I do like the water. You know I'm a bit of a water baby, so I go up there for a swim every now and then.
What's wrong with Shep? Why do you hate Shep so much?
I don't. It's just where I work. It's where I live. It's where I have my life, man.
Okay.
But every now and then, you know I love the water.
True.
I love getting out there. I love the boats. Anyway, Morgan, my roommate, and I were going for a drive along the foreshore there on Yarra side of the lake, and we couldn't get down River Road because they're doing some works along the foreshore there. So shout out to all the residents in River Road this morning putting up with the works. It's one way.
Hate it when streets go one way.
I know you do. The best thing about it though is we're like we're trying to figure out how we can get down that street, and we're like, oh, we'll have to go back around the other street on the other side, not hard. And there was a road closed sign in front of the road. Some local genius had, and I put it on my personal Instagram story, but you can see it right now on the Hit GV page, has written underneath road closed. Ellie, can you?
Don't make me say that word.
What does it say underneath road closed?
For a euphemism for a phallic symbol.
For?
Or just the
road's closed for?
penis.
You didn't have to say the word.
Oh.
You could have just made that sound effect.
Oh, well, I...
The...
Okay, well, I got rid of that.
Very immature, I'll say, but it did give Morgan, my roommate, and I a massive chuckle.
Yeah, because you've got the sense of humour of a 12-year-old.
Road clothes for that. Very funny gear, and it made me think about other funny signs that you've seen and things that you see around the Goulburn Valley that are funny. Whenever I see a sign, it's been a lifelong dream of mine, and I'm not encouraging people to graffiti this morning. Whenever I see a to let sign, just to draw an eye in between so it says toilet. It's been my lifelong dream to do it. One day maybe I'll do it.
You probably could get away with that. Do you know what? I'm about to admit something. You know how I don't break the law and I've got a judge for a father and very, you know, law-abiding citizen. Well, the only law I've ever broken was when I was about 12 and I was at a beach near where my parents' holiday house is, and there was a sign there that said, please clean up after your dog, with a little picture of a dog going to the toilet. And my friends and I thought it'd be funny to put the word don't before it. So please don't clean up after your dog.
Good.
Yeah. And about, what's it now? What am I now? 27. 25 years later, there's still the faint markings of that don't. They never replaced the sign.
Good, because you shouldn't have to.
Because it was good gear. It was a good gag.
They got it. The council understood that that was funny. You should have also said no at the end, replied to signs.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Where there's instructions.
Oh, I love that when you see a little graffiti on the toilet and then someone else has replied to it.
Yes, exactly, yeah, right. Or where it says no standing, someone's standing underneath.
Oh,
or no standing, someone's written make me.
Hey, 13, 12, 16, have you seen a funny sign? Maybe it's because it's been defaced, or maybe it's just one of those signs that actually is a funny sign.
Yeah, there could be a few around the Goulburn Valley. Surely not just the one in River Road in Yarrawonga. There's plenty around, guys.
Give us a call. We'll take them next.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
It's like when you're driving back through Arcadia and there's the sign, the turn off to Arcadia, and someone's written, what's it?
What does it say? I haven't seen this one. On the Goulburn Valley Highway.
Yes. It's like they've defaced it to be Arcadia 2 Chains.
Oh.
Arcadia like Chains Road or something.
Yeah.
And they've made it Arcadia 2 Chains or something like that.
Maybe go for a drive today and do some research.
Yeah, I know. Damn it.
Repeat it back this time tomorrow, yeah?
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. Be listening. 6:54 tomorrow morning. Let's go to James from Shep. James, have you seen a funny sign?
I have. I was visiting a mate in Newcastle last year and there's a suburb up there called Rankin Park.
Rankin Park.
One of those cheeky locals spray painted it and changed it to Crankin Park.
Oh.
Crankin. That sounds like a place I want to be.
Where the parties are cranking.
Yeah.
Is it lit there, James?
Yeah, that's the word for it.
What sort of suburb is it, mate? Is it a bit ghetto or is it a nice place?
How do I say it nicely? Let's call it medium to lower socioeconomic society.
Oh, okay. All right. So they're all out cranking. Fair enough. All right. Thanks for your call, James.
No worries, guys.
Hey, while James was just on the phone, I just Googled it. It's Arcadia 2 Chain Road. Someone's defaced it to be 2 Chains Road.
Like the rapper.
Yeah. Two Chain.
Very clever. So all they had to do was add a Z on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We've got a clever bunch.
Excuse me. It's more clever than your defacer of the
I'm not the one defacing
sign.
This stuff, right? So this is people around the Goulburn Valley. We're a simple bunch. We're writing the word penis, right? What Ellie just said. On one side, and someone's adding a Z on the end of chain to make it 2 chains.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Lift your creativity today. Oh, wait, don't graffiti. That's right. Is that the message I meant to say?
Yeah.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Fireworks may erupt right now. Everyone seems to be up in arms about the new Shepparton Super School, which has been in the works for a while now. And recently the Nationals Party have commissioned Robocops would be cool, survey to get the thoughts of the community. And it's been led by Steph Ryan, member for Euroa. She joins us now. Morning, Steph.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Sorry for calling your plan a Robocop scheme.
Would that be cooler?
Yes. I mean, I like the Robocalls as well. But Robocops, get them out patrolling the streets and asking people their thoughts.
We prefer to call them automated polls.
Oh, okay.
But I can understand why you'd call them a robocall, because that voice was pretty bad, wasn't it?
I know. Just ask your friends Josiah and Ellie to do the voice for you. Imagine if it was me.
Yeah, well, look, if you guys are volunteering.
Next time.
I'm sure we'll get a much better pickup rate if they hear you guys are on the other end of the line.
Or the opposite, Steph. Now, you did send this out to a lot of people that are listening would have got that call asking on your thoughts on the Shep's Super School. And obviously, it's divided people. I wouldn't say down the middle, because your results came out very overwhelming in one way. Isn't that right, Steph?
Yeah, they were. So more than 60% of people who responded said that they weren't in favour of the project, and about 18% said they were. So there's about 20% who haven't made up their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But lots and lots of people are very concerned about the lack of consultations that they feel has happened. And I actually, that kind of fed back to me after the poll, to be honest, because I had a number of people contact me who were really disappointed that they missed the call, asking how they could be involved. Now, we couldn't do that because it would statistically ruin the sample, but it's the first time I think we've ever run a survey like this and then actually had people call us and say, how can we participate? And I think that kind of shows that the government's consultation process around this project has been pretty bad. So, the results were very overwhelming.
It doesn't seem like the government are listening, though, because James Molino was in town yesterday to unveil the plans for the super school as well as name options. They're not listening to anyone. They're just going full steam ahead and wanting to get this on with. Why are they not listening, Steph?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I don't doubt that when people came up with this plan, they had good intentions, but the community, I just think the community is really worried about it, and the government hasn't been able to answer some of the really big questions. Like, for example, what happens if your kid is getting bullied at school? You know, where do they go if there's only one school in town? And where is actually the evidence that a massive school like this, which will be the largest in the state, will actually deliver better outcomes? So there's some of the really big concerns for people. But then, you know, there's also this, the next few years around transition arrangements where, I'm really worried about those kids in school for the next 3 to 5 years. What's going to happen to them when they're being split up? You know, some parents are going to have kids at three different campuses, going to be trying to drop their kids off all over town. And I just think there's some of the questions the government just is kind of pushing to the side and ignoring. And then the big thing for me is that there's no real timeline and no funding on the table to construct the school. And so I just don't think they should be pressing ahead with the merger until there's a concrete commitment to funding.
Is it likely that they will halt the whole project after your findings, do you think?
Well, the minister didn't seem too keen yesterday and certainly kind of dismissed that opposition. And that was one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this survey, because I think there's been a bit of an effort from the government to kind of pitch the people who are opposed to it as a minority. And I think what this poll showed is that they're not the minority, they're actually the majority. And I really do think the government should, you know, maybe take a step back, and they need to build a solution hand in hand with the community instead of just forcing something on the community that the community doesn't necessarily want.
Yeah, well, you take one look at the Stop Shepparton Super School Facebook page. My goodness, the people on that are very vocal and very anti-super school.
Yeah, they are, totally. And they're parents. They're just parents and community members who are really worried about the plan. They're not political people. They're not trying to make any kind of point other than to raise, you know, some of those key concerns around it. And I think it's really disappointing that the minister was in town yesterday, and I know that some of the people from that group asked to meet with him and he wouldn't meet with them, you know. And I kind of think, well, if you don't have anything to hide, and if you're really fully convinced and you think you can answer the questions, why not meet with them and allay some of those concerns? But they're not doing that. They're just kind of bunkering down and pushing ahead. And I think that is a bit of a concern.
Yeah,
a big concern.
It's a bit of a us versus you mentality, and we're more powerful than you, so we'll do what you want, which makes no sense because, and that's why people like yourself, Steph, who are a people's people, get voted in every time because people like people like you, whereas people they don't listen to, watch the next election. Watch this seat. It'll
go. You said the word people a lot.
I like the word people, Steph. Hey, Steph, can I just get your thoughts on this idea? This is a model that I think they need to come to some sort of happy medium in between. I've said this before. There's a model in Bendigo that worked and it happened a lot in Sydney as well, where what they did is they left 7 to 10 as it is, as in your own schools. But then when it comes to 10, 11 and 12, when it's, just 11 and 12, the selective subjects, then they group those ones together. And it's worked really well there. And I feel like that's a happy kind of medium, but they're not even listening to any ideas at all. It's just us, our idea versus yours. That's it.
Yeah, and no, I mean, those options should be something that is considered. And I think when you look at the consultation that they did, they basically gave the community three options, which was no change at all. We'll do some really, really minor works on your school, but it won't really deliver any outcomes. Or option three, have a, you know, a big, shiny new school.
Mm.
And so under those circumstances, of course, people are going to say, maybe option three.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what the community wants, because they're not being given, they weren't given the full range of options. No one said, okay, well, how about we sit down and make a really serious investment in those existing campuses? Or, you know, there's a whole range of things. How about we really heavily invest in early childhood education and in, you know, in senior subject choices and that kind of thing, or heavily in teaching. Those things weren't really part of the conversation. It was just like, oh, well, you can have nothing or you can have this. That was basically the options that was put forward to the community. So I kind of feel like they knew what they wanted to achieve all the way through, and they've basically railroaded the community to that point.
Mm.
And it does feel like a bit of a David versus Goliath battle, because they just don't seem to be listening.
It's kind of like Brexit, you know, they committed to it and then now they're trying to figure out how to work it. And I was like, oh God, no one's happy with any Seriously. Of the outcomes. Yeah, very similar.
Hey, it does feel like that actually. You're
yeah.
right.
The only positive out of this whole thing and all the parents being in the cars for a lot longer, more time listening to Josiah and Ellie, Steph.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. Let's increase that commute time, hey?
There's always a silver lining.
Exactly. All right. Well, Steph Ryan, member for your role, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Lovely to talk to you.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
This is sports. This is sports.
It's Josiah and Ellie's Sport Talk.
We are officially into September, which means it starts to get real around the place, particularly in a bunch of our local sporting leagues. So to give us the biggest stories in local sport this week, we've got Michael from Shep joining us. Morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. Morning, Josiah, just because you said it before and I... don't want you to feel left out.
Yeah.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
That's true. I'm
Michael's
just busy
got a big heart. Ellie, not so much.
So tell us, last weekend was the first round of finals for GBL?
Yeah, first round of finals for GBL. Very good.
Went, I'm good. I'm
went off
it.
Well. And it's the first round of finals for AFL this week, just to confuse everybody.
Yes.
But
no real upsets last weekend, was there?
No, it's pretty much going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 that are through to this stage of the season. So not too bad. Kyabram take on Shepparton for a chance at playing in the grand final.
Huge grand final rematch from last year.
It is too. So at Euroa's Memorial Oval. So the losers sees another day, which is a little quirky little thing in the GBL. But that'll be, I reckon, yeah, Kyle will go straight through to another grand final. And Shep will play next week. And then Echuca versus Rochester. Battle of the Campaspe here for on Sunday at Benalla Showgrounds for a chance to play in a preliminary final.
Do or die, that game.
Absolutely do or die.
I'm going to say it's going to be the Shep Bears versus Echuca next week.
At Deakin Reserve.
And it'll be a grand final rematch in the grand final again.
You reckon with that? Bears will go all the way through?
That's my call.
Okay.
That was a good day last year. I went along to the grand final last year. It was good fun. What date? So does that mean 2 weeks from now is grand final day?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. From this weekend, then next weekend, and then the weekend after, Sunday, grand final.
Sunday, they play on.
The week before the AFL grand final, which the Eagles will be in.
It was always after the AFL grand final, the day after the AFL grand final, but then the AFL threw in that bye and completely confused everybody. So.
Yeah, it's kind of good because you want like 2 weekends worth of grandies. Why not?
Yeah, well, it's not too bad. Makes a big weekend, though, because Kyabram District Football League's grand final is on the Saturday. before awesome. The GBL one. So
a few sore heads on the Sunday
and
for that one.
And the Murray League one is on the Saturday as well. So it's going to be a big week that weekend to see how it goes.
Lucky going out on the town that night. I'll tell you what, all the footy boys are out.
Clyabram District Football League, they've got their semi-finals happening this weekend. Telly Group to take on Ngambi at Ngambi and Lancaster take on Stanhope at Undira, just to be confusing on Sunday. There's a bit of a documentary going around this weekend on Ardmona Football Club.
Trying to make
their way into their 100th year. They've also got a GoFundMe page at the moment. They're trying to raise over $100,000.
To buy a victory? Or
Well, just to stay afloat for next year. There's a bit going on over there at the moment. So
I'll get on and donate. It's a lot of history, obviously, with the club. Good cause. And hopefully next year, could 2020 be the Cats' year? They get a W on the board.
Could potentially be. We'll wait and see and find out how that goes in regards to it. So, but, interesting one. Interesting afternoon. Well, weekend ahead for them as well.
Pumped for that.
Yeah, very much so.
And what's going on with your soccer? You playing this weekend?
Yeah, Shep United. Yeah. We're playing, I believe, against Tatura in Tatura.
Okay.
So I think our Rezzies are in second, seniors are in fifth. So both games are going to be cracking games. So looking forward to it. I've come back from my holiday very unfit. So it'll be very concerning. So if anyone plans on coming to watch me, please don't.
No.
AFL, though, I heard you say before, 70 points to West Coast.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
I reckon West Coast will win it, but I don't think it'll be by that much.
Nah, the Bombers got a few players back. I reckon they'll give them a real crack.
Yeah. It is over in Perth. That's the thing I'm looking at going, West Coast, pretty comfortable.
Yeah, of course, mate. Of course. We'll be fine. All right, Michael, thanks so much for your expert opinion. We'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.